You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Just part win. Of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your just team win. Every day.
Just win. Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Thursday, March the 14th, 2019, and it is the new league year. It is officially here. It actually opened up on March 13th at 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, and 1 p.m. on the West Coast. And so now it's going to be officially the year. There's no more speculation. You can talk about players. You can sign players. You can do all that good stuff because it is the new league year all the way until the Super Bowl is over. And I know it sounds like it's going to be a long time from now, but it's not. It'll be here quick, fast, and in a hurry, and then before you know it, we'll be going through depression again because the Super Bowl is already over and we have to worry about another offseason. But right now, it's great. It's great to be in the offseason. It's great to be in the free agency. It's great to see all the moves that are being made around the league, not only with the Raiders, but just in general. How all these teams are getting a lot better, but you know we're here to talk Raiders, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Segment number three today. I got calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Definitely have a lot of good calls I want to get to. Some about the Antonio Brown press conference, a lot about the offseason in general, things about Mike Mayock, John Gruden, different players on the team. There's a lot of good calls that I want to get to. Going to do that in segment number three. Again, the number is 707-654-4693. In segment number two, courtesy of Raiders.com, I actually have Antonio Brown's press conference from Wednesday. I think it was really, really good. I came away really impressed. I got some things that I want to speak on about it, but all in all, just for the record, just a spoiler alert, I was pretty impressed by what I saw with Antonio Brown's press conference. I will say, he needs to be on time. That does bother me. That makes me nervous. That's one of the pet peeves. There's a couple pet peeves I really have in life. One is being on time. You just ought to be on time to things that you have to be on time to. Stuff that you're supposed to be on time to. Now, if you're just going to the homeboy's house or the homegirl's house, you could be late. Oh, yeah, I'll be there in 30 minutes and show up in like 45 or an hour. That's cool. Whatever. Because that's just going to the home. That ain't nothing. But if you got somewhere to be, Jack, you better be there on time. Matter of fact, you ought to be there early. That's just me. That's one of my big pet peeves. I'm a Bay Area dude. I lived in the Bay Area my whole life until I moved to Fresno, California, and then I moved to Texas. But I'll tell you right now, being in the Bay and saying that, oh, well, there was traffic and I was late in traffic, and I'm not saying that's what Antonio Brown said, but that is never an excuse. You know what I'm saying? You can never just feel, oh, and you know, I got stuck in traffic. Duh, it's the Bay. There's always traffic. You know what I mean? And that kind of goes for anything, man. If you're supposed to be somewhere at a certain time, then you better be there on time, or if not, you better be there early. That's just my thing. Again, when it was daylight savings time and I worked at the grocery store, I'd be late on purpose. But that was just because I was out partying the night before and I was like, oh, I got an extra hour of sleep. I got an extra hour. It's all good. I'll just say I didn't set my clock, but I did that on purpose. So that wasn't really a valid excuse. So that's the one thing that I didn't appreciate about Antonio Brown's press conference, and I don't know what the holdup was. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, this is why he wasn't late, or you know what I mean? I'm not going to say he got caught in traffic. I'm not going to say it was taking a long time to sign his contract. I don't know why. So I'm not even really going to hold that against him. But when you hear on NFL Network and you hear people that have covered the Steelers say, oh, we've been waiting for Antonio Brown for 7 years. He's always late to everything, talking walkthroughs, talking practice, talking plane rides. I mean, everything. When you hear stuff like that, it kind of throws up that red flag like, oh, man, that's not okay. And so I'm sure John Gruden will not approve of that. That'll be a problem. So we'll see moving forward. That is the one thing I can say that I really took away from Antonio Brown's press conference that I did not appreciate was the fact that he was late. But look, I'll play the press conference in segment number two. I'll give you some more news and notes. Not news and notes. I'll give you more thoughts on the press conference, my takeaways from it. I just had to point out that one little pet peeve right there. My other pet peeve, and I know that you probably don't care, is clean your car. Make sure your car is not dirty. There's something, well, actually, I just don't like a dirty house. I don't like dirty anything. But I really don't like getting in someone's car and it's dirty. bothers the mess out of me. So that's just another pet peeve. That's a whole nother side note. But here in segment number one, what I want to do is I do want to give a daily news and notes. It's kind of what I do. It's kind of a staple of the Locked On Raiders podcast. And, you know, obviously Le'Veon Bell is a New York Jet. That was one of those pieces of news that we were really waiting on. And I'm glad that that is all over. That saga is over. Now I can get back to my regularly scheduled, like, bedtime. And, yeah, I don't care if I'm 42. I have a bedtime. But, yeah, man, I can get back to my regular routine and not be thrown off because I'm sitting here by Twitter, I'm sitting by the TV, and I'm sitting by the phone trying to catch up on the news and make sure I'm on top of it so I don't, you know, so I'm not late. But I'm glad that is over. But everyone thought that, okay, well, they missed out on Le'Veon Bell, so the Raiders aren't going to do anything. They're not going to be very active in free agency anymore. They've already kind of made their splash when they went out and got Antonio Brown. Obviously, they got Trent Brown, and then they also got LaMarcus Joyner. And, okay, well, they're going to be done. But lo and behold, here come the Raiders swinging for the fences before the Antonio Brown press conference. Tyrell Williams, wide receiver from the Chargers, he gets a four-year, $44 million deal from the Raiders. And in 2018, he had 41 catches, 653 yards, 5 touchdowns. He was ranked the number 3 free agent wide receiver, only behind Golden Tate and Adam Humphries. Now, Humphries, he went to the Titans on a four-year, $36 million deal. Golden Tate, he's still out on the street. And I think Golden Tate's a dog. He's actually a guy that I thought, man, he'd be awesome, like, in the slot with the Raiders. And, you know, I probably have that John Gruden-type mentality, just that bulldog-type mentality. But Tyrell Williams, man, he's a big 6'4 dude that can really stretch the field. I mean, the guy has wheels. So I'm excited about what he could bring and how John Gruden can use him. We already know Antonio Brown is wide receiver number one, but look, the Raiders are not giving Derek Carr any kind of excuses. They are putting weapons around him. Something that we talked about on the podcast a lot throughout the season. Who's Derek Carr throwing the ball to? What weapons does he have? You know, Jared Cook's his number one receiver. Then Jalen Richard is right behind him. And, you know, he's throwing to Brandon LaFells. And he's throwing to guys like that and guys you've never heard of. And you're right, Marcel Aitmans, you know, seventh round draft picks. You're absolutely right. Well, I'll tell you right now, John Gruden and Mike Mayock are not allowing that to be an excuse. They are putting weapons around Derek Carr. Antonio Brown, that was a huge get. And after you hear his press conference, you really see that this dude is ready to go. Or you'll hear and feel like this dude's ready to go. He's really ready to be a difference maker. I am fired up about Antonio Brown and what he could bring. And I know I was the first one on this podcast saying, hell no, do not bring that dude in. He's going to be a problem. But I'll tell you right now, and now, look, you got to go out there and do it on the field, and you got to execute. You can say all you want to say. What I'm hearing from Antonio Brown, everything sounds excellent. Everything sounds great. Sounds like he's getting ready to work. I mean, he's ready to work now. That excites me. That gets me fired up. I've seen him more fired up in like 2 or 3 days as an Oakland Raider than I think I saw Amari Cooper in his whole time he was there. And that's not a dig at Amari Cooper. It's just their personalities are different. Amari Cooper's laid back and just chill. And Antonio Brown, man, especially when he's in a good mood, he's going to let you know. But the same thing about it, man. Same time, if he's not in a good mood, he's going to let you know about it too. You know? Dogs could be playful animals, or they could be killers. They could be cold-blooded killers, you know? So if he's in a bad mood and things are going really bad and, you know, guys aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, he's probably going to call them out. And I have no problem with that. If that's the kind of distraction he's making, is calling guys out on the sideline that ain't doing their job, 3rd and 5 and you drop the ball, 3rd and 5 and you have a false start and all of a sudden it's 3rd and 10 and he calls you out on the sideline, I have no problem with that. That's the kind of leadership, that's the kind of dog mentality I want to see. I like guys like that, man. Those are the kind of dudes those are those alpha dogs that I'd be talking about that the Raiders need. Antonio Brown looks like he wants to be that guy. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited to the fact that they signed Tyrell Williams to that four-year, $44 million deal. I don't care about the money. So what, he gets $11 million a year? That's fine. Taken away from the Chargers as well. He had a pretty good season with the Chargers. He spent his whole career with the Chargers. He's a guy that, as someone pointed out to me on Twitter, Gruden grinder, you know, undrafted guy. You know, it goes and has a pretty good, nice little four-year career so far. I mean, he's done some pretty good things with the Chargers. You know, had over 1,000 yards receiving 1 year. Again, had 653 yards in 2018, 5 TDs and 41 catches. So he's getting some yards. He's getting some yak. He can get down the field. That's something that I'm pretty excited about. Obviously, signing Trent Brown, the offensive lineman, whether he plays on the left side or the right side. And I say that like that because when you hear Mike Mayock in Antonio Brown's press conference, he kind of basically alludes to it. He could play on the left side or the right side. So I don't think it's determined where he's going to play just yet, but he's going to be on that offensive line. He signed and sealed his delivery. He signed, sealed, and delivered. So he's definitely going to be on that offensive line. And then obviously they went out and got LaMarcus Joyner. He's on the defensive side of the ball. But still, I mean, there's going to be weapons put around Derek Carr. Who knows if Jared Cook is going to come back? I know the Saints are talking to him. I think the Patriots have some interest in him, but who knows if he signs a deal with them? We'll see. Does Marshawn Lynch come back? Can Chris Warren be the guy that a lot of Raider Nation thinks he could be, or is he just a preseason stud? You know, I saw DeAndre Washington on Twitter on Wednesday talking about, I'm from Houston, Texas, most city to be exact, all I know is grind. That was one tweet. Happy but never satisfied. I need more. I'm demanding more. I'll get more. Putting my claim on it now. That's another tweet. More wins in 2019. Results, not reasons. God is great. Another tweet. You know what I'm saying? Like, so DeAndre Washington was either in his feelings or he had a come to Jesus talk with somebody and was ready to get going. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it was Antonio Brown. Maybe he was starting to basically put his claims down already. I don't know. I don't know who it was, but it did draw to my attention. I saw it immediately. I saw DeAndre Washington, and you guys know I've said it multiple times. I think he's going to end up being the odd man out in Oakland. But maybe someone said, hey, you got an opportunity. This is going to be your year. You better stay healthy. You better get out there and contribute. When he was out there and he contributed, he was pretty good. But he was not healthy for most of the season and didn't get that many opportunities because a guy like Doug Martin, Jalen Richard, who else? Marshawn Lynch, when he was out there, those guys were taking up all the carries, and he really didn't get too much burn. But when he got out there, you know, he did all right. So we'll see what happens. We will see what happens with DeAndre Washington. We'll see what happens with Marshawn Lynch. We'll see what happens. Does Doug Martin return? Does Jared Cook return? You know, is Chris Warren that dude? I mean, there's a lot of weapons that could be around him. And then they could still go out and make some moves, too, if they still want to. You know, we'll see what they do during the draft, because they're obviously going to draft a couple offensive guys. I don't know if they're going to get linemen, if they're going to get running backs, if they're going to get another wide receiver. There's going to be weapons around Derek Carr in 2019. So there is no excuse. There is no excuse. Hear me now, Raider Nation. There's absolutely no excuse for Derek Carr in 2019. If he goes out there and flops, he's just not the dude. If he goes out there and gets it done, has a hell of a season, turns this thing around with Antonio Brown, they have a nice little record. He puts up some good numbers and everything. They win a bunch of games. Okay, now we're cooking with grease. If not, got to have that come to Jesus meeting that I was talking about. We'll see what happens after that and moving forward and what happens. So, coming up in segment number two, you're going to hear Antonio Brown's press conference. I wanted to get to Kyler Murray's pro day because it was on Wednesday as well. I had a couple news and notes from that, but I don't want this thing to go too long. You know, the powers that be will get a little angry at me, and I don't want them to do that. So, I wanted to talk about Kyler Murray's pro day. Maybe I can get that into the end of segment number two, or else I squeeze that into segment number three. We'll get that in. I definitely want to talk about that because I think it has ramifications on what the Raiders do at number four in the draft if they stay pat at number four. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Thursday, March the 14th, 2019. And I got to tell you, man, first and foremost, I got to apologize because I got so caught up in watching the Antonio Brown press conference, I didn't really realize how long it really was. So this is going to cover the whole segment in segment number two. I don't know why I thought it was like 8 to 10 minutes. I wasn't even close. Man, I was slipping. I guess that time just stood still while I was watching that thing. I was so caught up in it. Well, anyway, I'm going to give you the whole thing, the whole meal deal, because if you didn't hear it, I think you should hear it. So here's Antonio Brown's press conference. Really, really good. It was John Gruden, Mike Mayock, and Antonio Brown. You can hear his kids in the background yelling a little bit. It was all good. Mike Mayock starts things off courtesy of Raiders.com.
I am so excited to sit next to Antonio Brown and his entire family. Watching these kids run around upstairs makes me feel good. I'm the oldest of seven. I get a chance to get some life in this building, and I mean that literally and figuratively. These young kids running around, breathing some life in this building, and that's what Antonio is going to do for this football team. And I can tell you over the years, I've watched him practice at least 10 to 15 times in my duties as a broadcaster in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, in the heat. I watch this guy practice. He's as good of a practice football player and works as hard as any football player I've ever seen in my life. And when we came here, John and I talked about finding passionate football players that love the game, that practice hard and play hard. And all I'm going to tell you is Raider Nation, we got a little better today, and it's all because of the way this guy plays football, Antonio Brown.
Thank you, Coach. I'm extremely grateful to be here. It's what a great opportunity for me and my family. I know I'm excited just how I got here, and I'm looking forward to making these guys proud.
Kyle Martin, Raiders.com. Antonio, congratulations. What does it mean to follow in the footsteps of legendary wide receivers like Cliff Branch, Fred Biletnikoff, Tim Brown, Jerry Rice later in his career? What does that mean for you to follow behind them and wear the silver and black?
Well, it's legendary. It's an honor to be here. I know some tremendous guys been in this building. It's a historic organization with some preeminent players like you just mentioned. And I talked with Coach Gruden, and I told him all those guys, you know, it's great guys. He's been around them and coached them. And I'm just here as a sponge to soak up every information Coach got to be as successful I can be and to help the team take it to a new level. So I'm just excited to be in the same buildings with guys who've been great from the past. But I'm excited to be here and help things go to another level as far as the winning environment.
Matt Schneidman with Bay Area News Group. Antonio, you seem pretty excited to work with Derek Carr. What about your guys' partnership excites you?
Just refreshing. I think he's hungry for success, hungry for turning the organization around, hungry to get on the winning side of things. And I'm just hungry for the same thing. So I think we stand for the same causes, God-fearing men, family-first type people. And we just want to be the best of our craft, putting in work in the meetings on the field. I think he's like a sponge, just trying to absorb everything from these guys to my left and my right to be able to help the team be successful.
Antonio, Vic Tafer from The Athletic. Take me through yesterday. You're coming to California, Oakland, first time in the building, meeting up with Derek Carr. What was it like yesterday, the whole day?
Well, it's a great experience. It's been going really fast. I'm just trying to, you know, take it in. But it's all God's plan, man. It's an honor to be here with Mr. Mayock, Mr. Gruden, around some great players. It's a great opportunity, and I'm ready to just get to work and serve some fresh air and some new energy around here, and hopefully develop some great attributes.
To your left, Antonio, Phil Barber, Santa Rosa Press, Democrat. You've generated a lot of headlines over the last year, probably even ruffled a few feathers back east. Do you regret anything you've said or done over the last year?
Well, to any kid out there from Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh will always be my family. Those guys gave me a chance when I was a 21-year-old kid. Obviously, you know, people listen to the things that are being said and written. But end of the day, it's all about how you make people feel. I think I made people feel really great and really inspired the way they watched me go to work, the way they watched me play, you know, but it's always love. I encourage every kid who watched me work and inspired by everything I've done. And I hope I continue to be a good example, continue to be a good role model, and continue to inspire people all over.
Antonio, Josh about from Associated Press. You've been on a team that's been in the playoffs a lot, been in contention a lot. This organization obviously hasn't had that success in recent years. What makes you think that things can change here, and what can you bring to make that happen?
I bring accountability. You know, I bring actions. You know, not what I say, what I do. You know, how I approach things. You know, holding guys accountable in the receiver room, developing a pot. You know, challenging guys. If we drop a ball, you know, we're gonna have a pot. Just super accountability. You know, I hold it. You know, maybe at the end of practice when I'm doing my jug machine, you know, bring the whole group over to see the jug machine. That way, every guy in the group know, hey, we count on you to make that catch. You know, I'm there watching you work, making that catch too. Because when we all there, we there together. So, you know, bringing some of the principles and some of the things that make good camaraderie and build good teams to some of the things I know, just, you know, whatever needed. You know, being here, being a leader, and taking hold of this thing full around it.
Antonio, Jerry McDonald from the Bay Area News Group. Coach Gruden has talked before about how hard you work. Mike Mayock came right out of the gate and started talking about it. Your reputation was that way in Pittsburgh, too. Where does that come from? Where do you think the work ethic comes from?
I come from my grandma, you know, my family, never being content, always being hungry. No matter what stage you get in life, you always got to progress and grow. So no matter what I do, it's always a fresh slate, a restart and refocus, and never getting content, just always getting better each day.
Grant Cohn, Santa Rosa Press, Democrat. John, when the Raiders drafted Amari Cooper, you were on television and said he was the vertical threat the team needed. When you traded him, Mark Davis said he didn't fit your system. My question is, how do you plan to adjust your system to accommodate Antonio's skill set and get him the ball downfield as frequently as the Steelers did?
I'm not sure what the point of your question is regarding Amari Cooper.
You were on television and you said he was the vertical threat that the Raiders needed, and then when you traded him, Mark Davis said he didn't fit your system. And my question is, do you need to adjust your system to accommodate Antonio Brown's skill set and get him the ball down the field as frequently?
No, we won't have to adjust anything with this guy. And we didn't have to adjust much with Amari, but this is not about comparing receivers today. We want to continue to improve this football team. We don't want to have a good receiving core. I want to have the best receiving core in football, and I think to have the best, you got to have the best. And in my opinion, we acquired the best wide receiver in football, and let's get to work.
Antonio, Paul Gutierrez here from ESPN. Two-part question here. First, how much did John Gruden being here have an effect on your decision to accept the trade to come here to play in his offensive system? And secondly, how strange is it knowing that you'll only be here for 1 year before going to Las Vegas?
Well, Mr. Gruden played everything in my decision with coming here. Obviously, he's an offensive guru. You get excited just talking with him. He got so much knowledge of the game. He's coached some of the greatest players ever, so he knows what it takes. You know, he's done been around the game from in the game, outside the game, and his knowledge is so amazing. He did his homework on me. He done seen every play I played in, every interception. He got the details. He's a highly professional guy. Always make sure you're highly prepared. He covered every variables when he studied players. I'm just sitting with him. He's focused on 16 interceptions. He don't want to talk about what you do well. He always want to focus on the things that we could do to be even much that much more better. And when you have a coach like that, you know, it's like your dad. You know, you want to be around him because, you know, he's not going to build you up for what you're doing. You know, he's going to encourage you on how you always could get better. And when you got a guy like that who always going to help you improve and grow, that's the type of guy you want to be around. And that's the type of guy you want to play for. And back to what you say, your other questions. For me to be here in Oakland, a part of the Oakland Raiders, and be able to be on the last team that's ever be here in Oakland is something special in itself. So it's pressure in that, it's excitement in that, and there's a lot that come with that. And I'm here today ready to embrace all that.
Coach Gruden, Kyle Martin, Raiders.com. You know, after coaching Jerry Rice and Tim Brown and obviously knowing everything there is to know about Raiders' historical wide receivers, what excites you, aside from the obvious reasons, about Antonio and what he can do with Derek?
Well, I get excited because of where this man comes from. I think the sixth round, wasn't a Division I. He did it the hard way. And he's done everything in his power to be the best he can possibly be on and off the field. His body of work is not only impressive, it's fun to watch. He's electrifying after the catch. He's a great competitor. He wins the 50-50 ball. He's outstanding in short areas. You have a great imagination as a football coach when you coach a man like this. He can play split end. He can play flanker. He can play in the slot. He can return punts and sell popcorn at halftime. We're excited about this guy. And we're going to put him to good work. And he's got his old army here with him. And he's got Otto and Ali. And I'm going to get all Apollo. I'm going to get all these young Browns to work here too. But just the life that he has, his enthusiasm to play, is contagious. And when we signed Antonio Brown, you would be shocked at how many other players have wanted to come along with them. It's really been a really great experience.
Antonio, Andrea Costa with the NFL Network here. Coach Gruden talking about your family, obviously here supporting you. How much was it part of your decision to make sure that they were in the best environment and in the best fit for you?
That's the most important key. You know, at this point, you know, it's all about family, making sure the family in the right environment. And Coach Gruden has been nothing but family, welcoming my family, even acknowledging and knowing my family, just speak tremendous volumes of what type of person he is outside the business. And when you have a guy who know your family, who shares that type of love with you, you're going to put your heart on the line for him to give him whatever it takes for us to be in a great situation, because now he's my family, we want family, and we're here for Raider Nation. To give them our all and be the best we can be.
As from Mike. Mike, a two-part question. How much have you improved your offense the last few days? And is running back still something you're looking for? Or is that what's the need there, I guess, at running back?
Yeah, I think the moment Antonio walks in our building, we get better on offense. I think our quarterback gets better. I think our offensive line gets better. I think the entire football team gets better. And I'm talking about on Sundays, and I'm talking about having an alpha male in the locker room 7 days a week. That's what I believe, okay? As far as the running back situation is concerned, we're always looking to get better, I mean, at every position. So, you know, free agency starting to draw slowly to a close over the next couple days and weeks, and we'll focus ahead on the draft at every position. Coach and I watched an awful lot of film on Trent with the entire coaching staff. And if you watch him in the playoffs against the Chargers, watch him against Kansas City, the teams we have to play in our division, watch him play football in those games, and you come away saying, regardless of whether he's a left tackle or a right tackle, and we're not even going to address that today, the bottom line is we got way better on our offensive line, and Derek Carr got better, Antonio Brown got better, the whole team got better.
My name is Scott Baer from NBC Sports, and my question is for Mike. Take us back, as you're talking to the Steelers and talking to Drew about acquiring Antonio, was there ever a point earlier in the week where you were pessimistic about the opportunity of getting him, and maybe take us through that versus when you were actually able to seal the deal and bring him here?
Well, we weren't even in on the process until Friday, okay? And, you know, I'm not going to get into specifics, but the bottom line is I think Pittsburgh wanted a certain pick. We weren't going to be able to get there. When that deal fell through with Buffalo, we got involved. And I'll tell you a couple things. I thought Kevin Colbert from Pittsburgh did a great job in getting this thing closed. I think Drew Rosenhaus was amazing because there were some times where I wasn't sure where we were going to get there or not. Okay, and anytime you've got a high-profile negotiation like this, and there are points to be made by both sides, and you've got to get through some things. And Drew did a great job keeping this thing alive. And I've never seen a better connection between a player and a coach when these two got together. I mean, John had 400 clips of Antonio in the office. I walked in this morning. The two of them were sitting in there like little kids watching 400 cut-ups of Antonio, everything he did, everything. I mean, they were like little kids in a laboratory, and that's why we're so excited.
The truth is, Mark Davis invited Mike and I and our wives to an event in Las Vegas. So sure. I was excited to get Mike out of the building. We went to Las Vegas. It was a great event. Mandy Mayock, my wife Cindy, and I, instead of having a nice date, a double date, we dated Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown. Never saw our wives, but it's as happy as Cindy and Mandy have been since we've known them, and Antonio agreed. So we thank you, brother.
Thank you, bro. True story.
John, the moves you guys have made, how does that sort of speed up the process of getting this team back to where you want it?
Well, you know, it's there's a lot of urgency. I hope people feel that since I've been here. I mean, I think every coach in the league would express the same thing. We have obvious areas on this roster that we want to improve. And Mike Mayock being here, I don't want to, you know, make him mad, but he's made a huge impact on this organization since he's been here. This trade has his fingerprints all over it. We're going to make a couple more moves, I do believe, in free agency that have his fingerprints all over it. It's been a blast. But we've gotten better. We have some resources in the draft to continue that process. And as I said all along, I don't think you can rush this. You got to do what you deem is right. Players don't become available all the time. You can't make all the necessary improvements. It takes a little bit of time. But we're confident that we're headed in the right direction.
Michael Gelkin, Las Vegas Review-Journal. Antonio, much has been said about your work ethic and how you practice. I was hoping you could detail a little bit in terms of how do you make the most out of not just the two-hour on-field session you get for practice, but what are your habits before practice? What are your habits after practice? Can you kind of run through how you approach that?
Well, I'm real regimen-oriented. You know, I have a perfect system I like to run. You know, got my chef here, my trainer here, Tony. A team of people who just make sure I could just focus on being my best. You know, I surround myself with great people, so I don't have to really worry about, you know, all I can worry about is performing, you know, being my best when I walk in the stadium, and just not having to worry about the kids doing this, the wife doing this. You know, I have people who make my life simple. You know, when I go home today, my chef had a food food be ready. I don't have to worry what I'm gonna eat. I don't have to worry about what I'm gonna train. I got Tony in my corner to make sure he don't hold me to high standards to be in tip-top shape. My chef gonna make sure I'm eating the right meals so I can able to perform. So, just having the right team of people that could, you know, hold me to high standards, making sure I'm at a high level, and you know, when I hit the practice field, you know, it's all about that. That's the fun part, you know, because we already, you know, put the icing on the cake and did all the necessary tweaks and balance to make me to be the player I know to be. So, I got a great team. I'm excited to share my team with everyone's here. If the food bad here, man, my guy's willing to cook. I mean, I'm here to help the program in all regards. You know, I'm here to make guys better around me. I'm here to elevate everything around me. I'm here to just be a surge of energy, a positivity, and a good force, a great teammate, and bring out the best to everyone around me, because we all know it's not just about me. You know, it takes 11. You know, on each side of the ball, it takes special team. So it's a unit, you know. So I'm just here to encourage, to set a tempo. Every catch I make, I'm going to the end zone. I'm jogging back. You guys will get to know me, and I hope every guy in the line behind me going to take that same approach, because if we all hold each other accountable, we'll be a better organization. And it's not about me being successful. It's about the organization being successful. I think if the organization is successful, then I'll be successful.
Mike, Jimmy Durkin from The Athletic. Obviously, you guys made some huge additions here on offense and so far in free agency. Does this allow you, as you go into the draft, to say, okay, we can really focus there on upgrading the defensive side of the ball where we need to get better?
Well, I think we need to get better everywhere, and whenever you make significant signings, what it does on a, from a team needs perspective is maybe it allows you to concentrate in some other areas, but I've always been a big believer in the draft that value is value, regardless of position. So we're excited about those first, you know, four picks in the first 35. That's outstanding, but we got to hit everywhere else, and that's the game plan.
Malika Babineau with the Oakland Post. Antonio, you come here with a lot of talent and veteran leadership. Obviously, the reality is the offense didn't do well last year. So how do you look at coming in and guiding some of the younger guys and to a standard of which you know, and just at an NFL level to know, you know, not that losing is something you can accept, but how you can get past it and stay positive? And also, what teammates have you reached out to start, you know, getting to know some of the other guys well?
Well, my plan is to, you know, get around here, you know, get in the room, you know, start holding guys accountable, let them know it's a certain type of standard here now that we got to upheld. You know, receivers, we need an accountability system, drops, lates, fines, missed routes, missed sights. We're going to hold each other accountable. And if you don't fall in that accountability, you get fined. And so when Derek Carr walk in the room, he see all the receivers. This guy owed this, you know, so everyone had that accountability factor, because if everyone held accountable, you know, we got to be at a certain standard. So I'm just here to set certain standards, you know, hold guys accountable, and just uplift the tradition of, you know, it's unacceptable to accept not our best, you know what I mean? So that's kind of my attitude. You know, we're still shaping the team. You know, I can't do it all in one day, but this is the first start to kick off me being here and us doing some positive things moving forward.
Grant Cohn, Santa Rosa Press Democrat. Antonio, how familiar are you with John Gruden's offensive system? What do you like about it, and how do you feel it suits what you like to do?
Well, he's a Gruden grinder. You know, he's going to study every detail. He's going to study every precision. He's going to put you in the situations to be successful. We already been talking about different formations to line me up in different positions, verbiage that we could use so I could get lined up faster. I mean, he's a real genius at offense. He's an offensive guy. He loves offense, and he's really smart. You know, just the details of how he studied. I just told you earlier today, he got a clip of 400 plays with details on every play, even the good and the bad. And he rarely talks about the good one. He always focuses on the bad. Hey, you had an interception right here. It was a back shoulder throw right here. What happened? So he's always searching for the cylinder. You know, he's never content of you're the best. It's always, it's constant improvement. He's all about the Kaizen, just constant improving and growing. And that's the guy you want to be around.
Matt Schnabman, Antonio, a quick two-parter to finish. How many more years do you think you have as a number one wide receiver in this league? And why no more yellow mustache? People seem to be interested in that.
Well, I'm here. My goal really is to catch Jerry Rice. I'm playing with a guy like Coach Gruden. Obviously, you know what it takes to keep me upright and fresh and to keep me out there for a long time. So, you know, securing this challenge is a challenge every year to prove my love for the game. You know, and I'm just taking it 1 year at a time. You know, obviously my goal in the back of my mind to catch Jerry Rice. And every year I have to prove my love. So this year I'm out here to prove my love that what I could do and what I could be. You know, nothing in the NFL is ever guaranteed or set in stone. So I know these guys believe in me, but it's a lot for me to prove here. So I'm here to prove who I am and what I stand for, not just my words, but my actions. And, you know, hopefully you guys see what I'm about, more so what I say, but more so what I do.
One last question, Felicia.
Thanks. Felicia Purcell for Sports of the Bay. Welcome to Oakland. You're joining another team that is enriched with history. How much do you know about the tradition of the Raiders and the city of Oakland as a whole? And you talked about setting the tone and touchdowns. Have you thought about what your first leap into the black hole is going to be like?
Well, I was at the park earlier. We was throwing some routes, and some guys was from Oakland was out there watching, and they was pretty excited. I caught one long pass, and guys was like, they was excited for me to jump in the black hole. So I'm looking forward to experience. I'm looking forward to, you know, leaping in the black hole, getting fans excited, you know, celebrating with Derek, celebrating with the guys. So I'm just here today, just the beginning of a great journey, and hopefully you guys are excited moving forward.
Lots of good stuff right there, man. Antonio Brown, he is talking the talk. He is talking the talk about being a leader, about being an alpha dog, being that guy holding guys accountable. I love the fact that he said that he was going to have a fine jar for guys that drop passes, because we all know that the Raiders drop passes. I love the fact that he said he's going to hold the wide receivers accountable. I love that. The Raiders need a dude that's going to stand up and be that alpha dog and just about not strike fear in you, but let you know that you got to do better. And at the same time, you don't want to let that dude down. You know, he's going to be that perfectionist. He said, after practice, I'm going to hit the jugs machine and I'm going to encourage other people to go and do the same thing. They see me doing it and working really hard. They're going to say, hey, why not we catch 200 passes? I love that. I love that. I love that blue collar mentality. That's that Liberty City in him. You know, he knew that he had to work hard and grind. He said he got that work ethic from his grandmother, didn't he? You either got those or you don't. You can't really teach them, but he can lead by example and be out there and like I said, hold guys accountable. We saw the success that the Cleveland Browns had in 2018, and I think a lot of it had to do with Jarvis Landry. I know everybody's giving Baker Mayfield all the credit, but I think a lot of it had to do with Jarvis Landry. He came into that organization after being traded from the Dolphins and went in there and said, hey, man, we don't practice like this. This ain't how we practice. We work harder than that. We don't just lollygag around. We go and get after it, man. He was a dog about his. You know what I mean? And so if Antonio Brown could be that dude, be what Jarvis Landry was for the Browns, everyone thought that the Browns were going to be a laughingstock with a high-priced wide receiver, right? Yeah, no, it didn't happen like that. Jarvis Landry went in there. Baker Mayfield ended up taking over. And boom, they had a very respectable season. Very respectable season. They were really close to almost making the playoffs. They really could have if the ball had bounced their way a couple times, including the game against the Raiders. So there's a lot to like in Cleveland and what they got going on. If they could turn things around like that in one season with Baker Mayfield at the helm and that new front office, then why can't the Raiders? That's all I could think about. As bad as the Cleveland Browns were, now people are talking about them and how they have an opportunity to make moves. I think the Raiders are already in a better position than the Browns were, and I think that they can make those same moves. So I love everything that Antonio Brown said. Hopefully he has no problem with being late when it comes to practice and all that good stuff with the Raiders, because that's something I do not want to see from him. So that was good stuff right there from Antonio Brown. I hope you enjoyed it. Definitely comment on it. 707-654-4693. Coming up in segment number three, going to hear some calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number three of the Locked On Raiders podcast, 707-654-4693. That is the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, and that's where you're going to hear some calls from right now. Chuck in Austin, Texas, going to start things off. He's calling to talk about what the Raiders have done so far in the offseason, talking AB, talking Trent Brown, Mike Mayock, and more. He also talks about his thoughts early in the draft.
Q, what's up, buddy? This is Chuck, Austin, Texas, Raider fanatic. Very happy on the pickup of Trent Brown. Colton Miller and Brandon Parker. Now, I don't know if it's Tom Cable, he's such a bad coach, or those guys are just flat-out horrible. They just need a lot of work and development. They were not even close to ready. I was a little bit upset about losing Mack and what Gruden had done so far. But so far, Mayock has come in. I think he's really put a stamp on this thing and helped quite a bit. Love the fact they only gave up a third and fifth for Antonio Brown. And he looks really motivated. And that was the key on that. I'm thinking they're going to trade down with that third first-round pick and hopefully pick up another third round, maybe fourth round or second round, somewhere in there, and get like a two additional picks on top of that. And maybe another fifth rounder next year or something of that nature. But I like the direction of the team. Colt Miller either go to right tackle or guard. He has terrible lateral movement. I don't know if you watched him, but he just doesn't move to the side well or quickly. But who knows what happens. All right, go Raiders. Thanks, buddy.
All right, that was my man Chuck in Austin, Texas. Good to hear from you, brother. Appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts. You had a lot of good stuff right there. Joe in Portland. Short but sweet call from Joe. He's calling to give his thoughts on the Antonio Brown press conference, something that we just heard in segment number two. Here's Joe.
Hey, Raider Nation and Q. It's Joe up in Portland. And I just watched that Antonio Brown press conference, and I'm pumped, I have to say. Like, he really emphasized accountability with this receiver group, and we have lacked that for so long now. Like, drops, missed routes, missed assignments, just terrible things. Like, even with when guys were productive, there were screw-ups all over the place. There was zero accountability, and I really hope this all works out and follows through with this, because if what we're hearing is going to happen, that's going to be a major upgrade to the entire offense and really the entire team. So I'm pumped. Welcome to the Silver and Black, Antonio. Let's do this. All right, bye.
All right, I echo the stuff that you said, Joe. I mean, you heard me talk about it in great length. I really appreciated that presser. Now, again, it's easy to talk the talk, but you definitely got to walk the walk. So that obviously has remained to be seen, but everything I'm hearing so far from Antonio Brown, I'm definitely liking. Now, Nico in North Jersey, he got a more detailed call for us. He's giving his thoughts on a few subjects, including Le'Veon Bell to the Jets, what that means for the Raiders. He then brings up the Giants post-OBJ, what that can mean for the Raiders in the draft. And he has a theory heading into the draft on how Oakland could land a defensive monster. Here's Nico in North Jersey.
Yo, Q, Raider Nation, it's your boy Nico from North Jersey. Forgot a call on the podcast to give a couple thoughts. The Le'Veon Bell to the Jets news broke after I woke up this morning on the East Coast. And listen, some of you guys are going to be mad. Some of you guys are not going to be mad. I'm one of those that are not mad. Yes, it would have been fun to see him and Antonio Brown and Derek Carr in this offense under Gruden go. But I think everybody knows that for an organizational standpoint, he wasn't the smart decision. You know, throwing money at him when we have extremely bigger needs at edge, linebacker, tight end if we don't resign Cook. You know, we have all these other needs, okay? So it's not the end of the world. It's actually a good thing that we did not give our money to Le'Veon Bell, which is a running back, which we have a pretty crowded running back, okay? Especially if we're going to bring back Marshawn for one more year. Who knows? Chris Warren III. Who knows? And Jalen Richard. So, and this draft's got a lot of people. No top-level talent like a Saquon Barkley. But it's got some kids, man. You can get them in the middle to late rounds, and we'll be fine with that. Speaking of Saquon Barkley, okay, now I can transition to these Giants, man. They are now the laughing stock in this league, and that's awesome. It is awesome being in New Jersey, okay, and hearing all these Giant fans trash the Raiders at every turn they get, and now it's a little sweet revenge, baby. sending over their best player they've had in years, and Odell Beckham to the Browns. It's music to my ears. Man, they're paying Eli Manning $23 million, and they're in total rebuild mode. It's a joke. But that brings me to my next point. I firmly believe there will be one, if not two. I actually think there might be two quarterbacks taken in the top three picks before we pick. Potentially with our pick two if we trade it. But now I believe that the Giants may be trading up for Haskins. That's potential. I really believe Arizona's getting Murray, okay? They got Suggs in free agency, so they're probably not getting Bosa. They might be getting Murray, so that's one. And then the Niners are probably looking to trade out of that pick now that they just got, who the hell they get? Oh, my God, I'm having a blank. They got somebody big. Oh, D-Ford. They traded for D-Ford, okay? So they might want to trade back and recuperate some picks for that. And then I think that, you know, that could be a Giants trade-up thing. The Jets, now they just threw all this money at Bell. They threw all that money at Mosley. They might be trading back, okay? So that's going to leave us. Bosa, Quinton Williams, Allen to pick. Josh Allen. If we can pick one of the three of those kids, man, this is huge. That's huge news. We went from potentially not being able to pick any of them if the first three picks went Bosa, Allen, and Williams. And now we're going to be able to pick, probably there might be two left. We're going to pick one of the two of them. And that's awesome, man, because that, you know, edge is a huge need. So if we can end up with Bosa or Allen, that's enormous, enormous, enormous. Obviously, Quinn Williams is very safe and very good, but, I'd love to have him at four if Allen and Bosa are gone. But we cannot pass up this edge because our D tackles are loaded and we need some edge help like you read about. Which, again, brings me to my next point. I don't think we're done in free agency. Okay? We could be looking at a Houston. All right? We could look at a Justin Houston. We could be looking at a Anza. We need somebody. Somebody with veteran leadership experience. Clay Matthews. I know he plays outside linebacker, but he could probably play a 4-3 form. I don't know. Somebody that can mentor these young kids. So we're not done. We need a linebacker too. There's not many left, but we need somebody. I'm thinking linebacker, edge. I hope we re-sign Cook. I really do. He's got a rapport with Carr already. So him and Antonio Brown, that'd be great. Draft another receiver. Obviously, if we can't re-sign Cook, I'm going to be a little mad, but there is a loaded tight end class coming up, especially at the top. And then I think we should get another depth cornerback piece. And that's what I want for the rest of this free agency, okay? I want to hear everyone else's thoughts on this, but I think this is a good thing we didn't get Bell. I think it's a good thing that there could potentially be two quarterbacks in the top four taken, potentially one would even trade him back with us, but we can get a big haul for it. So that's my thoughts on this. All right, guys?
You got some good theories, man, and you never know how the draft shakes out, man. There's all kind of different scenarios that could be had in that draft. It's all remained to be seen, but it's going to be very interesting, and the Raiders sitting at number four is one hell of a position for them to be sitting there, just sitting there waiting, seeing what happens in front of them. Now, J.C. Raider in Ogden, Utah, he brings up Steeler fans that seem to be pretty bitter about A.B. being a member of the Raiders. Also brings up Lev Bell, gives his thoughts on the Raiders not landing him. Here's J.C. Raider in Ogden, Utah.
Hey, Q, this is J.C. Raider out of Ogden, Utah. Getting ready for work and thought I'd give you a call. Just thinking about, you know, I'm watching all these Steeler fans on Twitter and on Facebook, and to me, they're like a jilted ex-boyfriend. It's like, you know, don't beat up the next guy just because you can keep her satisfied. And even though I wasn't on board with getting AB, because I'm just not sure how he's going to be in the locker room and with Carr, I can live with what they traded for him, a third and a fifth. I mean, that's a hell of a deal. So let's see what happens. You know, I think it's either going to be a great thing or it's going to be a train wreck. I don't think there's going to be anything in between. So buckle up, Raider Nation. And looks like we dodged a bullet with Bell. I'm glad we didn't get Bell. And here we go moving forward. Go Raiders. I'm out.
All right, good call right there. And I will say, man, I got a guy who listens to my radio show on ESPN Central Texas, and he keeps hitting me with all kind of daggers about AB. And he's not really coming at me. And he even tweeted at me late on Wednesday, was like, hey, man, I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm trying to bust your balls, but – you know, he just doesn't trust AB. And he's like, oh, he's going to hold people accountable? Who's he going to hold accountable? What about himself when he gets mad that he's not voted the team MVP or when he doesn't show up to practice? All right, he's just clearly mad. And I get it, man. I get it, man. This is one of those things where if you're allegiant to your team, man, you want to feel like the team could do no wrong and it's all about an individual guy. So he hits me with some daggers. So I totally understand what you're coming from, JC Raider. And, I mean, it just is what it is. I'm sure there's a lot of Raider fans that throw daggers at Cowboy fans about Amari Cooper. I don't. You know, hey, I cheer on the guy. Go do what you want to do, Amari. You know, it just obviously wasn't going to work with him. I think the Raiders made out okay, and I think the Cowboys did really well as well. And thanks for that first-round draft pick, Stephen Jones. Anyway, now let's keep this thing moving. Victor in Cali, he wants to give his thoughts on the offseason, what's been going on with the Raiders. He also spoke on what KC got for D4 from San Francisco. Here he is, Victor in Cali.
Hey, Kira, it's Victor from Cali. Hey, I just wanted to give my thoughts on the recent free agent trades. I think the Raiders, John Gruden, Mayock, I think they're doing all right. You know, we all hated the Mac trade. I did. But we got two firsts for him. Look what the other teams are getting that don't have that strong of leadership. You know, now John Dorsey's out of KC. I think they got robbed for D Ford. D Ford had 13 sacks last year in 2018. Mac only had 12.5. And Kansas City only got a second-round pick for him. We got two firsts. Now, I'm not trying to say D Ford is in the realm of Mac. Mac's much better stopping the run, pass defending, a lot of other things. But still, these are two good pass rushers. And two firsts versus a second, I think D Ford went for way too little. Yeah, San Francisco's going to still have to pay him, but still. Anyway, that's one thought. The other is, look what we got AB for. We gave up a third and a fifth and got AB. And Cleveland had to give up a first and a third for OBJ, who hasn't even been healthy for a whole season. So, again, I think maybe that's some of Mayock's influence on that one. But, again, I thought we did really good on that trade. So can't be hating those. Love the Trent Brown acquisition. I think that totally shored up our offensive line. We were hurting. Yeah, I missed KO, but like you said, he was not fitting in our offensive line with Tom Cable. I think the fix is get a quality guy that can play either a strong left tackle and put Colton Miller on the right, or he can plug in at right tackle, and Colton Miller is doing, I think, good enough at left tackle. So offensive line issues are good. We stole a safety from the Rams. We're looking a lot better. I'm starting to buy into your theory that Gruden is buying a super team, because just in the early rounds of free agency, he plugged a lot of our biggest holes. And we still have three first-round picks and a number 35 pick overall to plug in some young guys with these. And free agency isn't even done. I am excited for Raider Nation. So, anyway, that's what I got, Q. Thanks. Peace out, Raider Nation.
All right, that was a good call right there from Victor, but he wasn't done. He had a question for Raider Nation and myself. Here is Victor in Cali one more time.
Hey, Q, Victor from Cali again. Hey, listen, I had one question I wanted to throw out to you and Raider Nation, and that's something I've been wondering. If you walked into a bar, who would you want to see from the Raiders, either past or present, and what would you want to talk about? That's my question. For me, it'd be John Gruden. I'd want to sit down with that guy and have a beer or two, and ask him if his current plan is to build a current Raiders team like the old one. Do you want a Charlie Garner that can catch the ball out of the backfield like Jalen Richard, and a power running back like Tyrone Wheatley or Marshawn Lynch, and some Hall of Fame wide receivers like Antonio Brown or Tim Brown or Jerry Rice, and a killer, nasty defense? I'd really want to know, is he trying to build the current Raiders like the Raider team that he built before? That's what I would have a beer with him. and ask him about. So I'm just wondering what everybody else would want to do. Do you want to lock in and have a beer with Lyle Alzado or Howie Long, Rich Gannon, someone currently on the team, Mike Mayock, the owner? What would it be? Anyway, that's my question. That's it. Thanks, Q. Bye.
That's a damn good question, Victor. I really, really like that. And I'll tell you right now, man, you picked John Gruden. That's a very good one. How about Al Davis? I would love to sit and talk with Al Davis, and rest his soul, I know he's not here anymore, but still, I would love to sit and talk to Al Davis and just soak up his knowledge. And it doesn't have to be just about the Raiders. It could be about the NFL in general, about football in general. Because I'm a guy, this is just me, this is peeling back the curtain a little bit. I'm a guy who loves to sit around with older dudes and just listen to stories. Like, I can honestly do that for hours. And matter of fact, I do it every Thursday. I'm going to do it later on today at Walk-Ons in Waco, Texas. I do it every single Thursday. We used to go to Hooters, then we go to Walk-Ons. And then on Fridays, we go to Bubba's, unless I got something to do, unless I got some job, I got to be somewhere else. I'm telling you, man, I can hang out with these cats and just listen, especially my buddy John Smith, and then his dad, Papa John is what I call him. Man, I'm telling you, that dude, he'll tell me about something, and he'll tell me a story about a guy that went to college somewhere or went to high school somewhere. And I'm thinking, damn, for real? And he listens to the radio show every day. But, yeah, he'll tell me some knowledge, and I'll take it back to the radio station and drop it sometimes because, hey, man, I'm only 42, so I only know what I know. I only know what I've seen and what I've heard. And so I'm that kind of dude that as much as I like to talk, and y'all know I like to talk, I also like to listen. And so I think Al Davis would be my guy. But Raider Nation, he asked a great question. What do you think? 707-654-4693. Who in the great history of the Raiders, past or present, would you like to sit down in a bar, just sit up and pull up next to him and have an unlimited amount of time to talk to him? Not, you know, it doesn't have to be about any certain subject, but who would it like to be? Who would you like it to be? 707-654-4693. Final call on today's show on Thursday, March 14th, 2019, comes from the most known unknown in Philly. He's calling to get Raider Nation's thoughts on the signing of LaMarcus Joyner and how he helps out the Raiders' issue covering tight ends and Paul Gunther's defense. Then he addresses P.E. in North Carolina, Vader Raider in the 303, Akeem in Oakland, and Raider Baconator in Seattle. But it's not about what you're thinking. It's not a Derek Carr call. It's actually a pretty funny one. Here's the most known unknown in Philly.
Yo, Q, most known unknown here. Just calling to get your thoughts on something and everybody else's thoughts. Listen, I'm pretty cool with all the moves that Gruden and Mayock have been making so far. It's only one move that gives me a little cause for concern, and that's LaMarcus Joyner. When we look at our problems at safety, we had a lot of problems covering tight ends. Carl Joseph was too small, Reggie Nelson was too short, and Marcus Gilchrist was too clueless. LaMarcus Joyner, he's a good player. He has the speed, but he doesn't have the size. He's like 5'8", Carl Joseph is 5'11". I don't really see how that solves our problem with covering tight ends and getting our safeties matched up on tight ends. I don't know what their plan is there. I don't know if they're signing him with the intent on getting Carl Joseph to sign his fifth-year option and then move him. I don't know, but I don't really think that solves our problem with the tight end position. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. I also wanted to address something. I wanted to address Victor. Oh, not Victor, Vader Raider. I wanted to address Vader Raider, P.E., Akeem, and Raider Baconator. Somebody gave y'all the name Four Horsemen and y'all sticking and running with that. Not only are y'all wrong about Derek Carr collectively, but y'all also collectively wrong about using that name. That name is reserved only for Barry Windham, Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, and the great Ric Flair. So unless you guys are them, you ain't the Four Horsemen. I love y'all. We don't agree all the time, but y'all ain't the Four Horsemen.
All right, most known unknown. Appreciate that call. And I just think LaMarcus Joyner, with his versatility, I think that's the biggest appeal. I get it. He's only 5'8", and kind of talked about it a little bit after the signing of him. He is only 5'8", but he's a speedster. He can get out there and make things happen. He can play the nickel role. He did a lot of that in L.A. You know, I mean, he's had his moments where he's been very, very versatile, and I think that's the biggest key. I think that's the biggest word right there. And, hey, I don't know what they're done. If they're done with the safety position, what they plan on doing moving forward, if they're going to grab a guy in the draft, if they're going to keep Carl Joseph, I don't know. Like you mentioned, he's going into his fifth year. Are they going to re-sign him? Are they going to move him? Are they? And, you know, who knows? But I think that LaMarcus Joyner and his versatility is the biggest key to that signing. I think you're going to see a lot of guys in that Paul Gunther defense that are very, very versatile. I also think you're going to see a lot of guys on the offensive side of the ball, just like Trent Brown, that signing. He can play left tackle. He can play right tackle. He can kick in and play guard if he has to. He's very, very versatile. I think we're going to see a lot of that moving forward with the signings that the Raiders get and also the draft picks. Look at AB. He's not just an outside wide receiver. You could put him in the slot. You could put him, you know, all kind of different spots. You heard John Gruden in the presser. He was talking about all the different things you can do with AB. You just got to get the ball in his hands. So I think it's all about versatility. That's probably one of the biggest keywords of the offseason. So good call right there. Good question. I appreciate that from the most known unknown in Philly. Victor in Cali, I appreciate you. JC Raider, Ogden, Utah. Nico in North Jersey. Joe in Portland. And Chuck in Austin, Texas. Appreciate all your calls. Appreciate everyone who tweets at me and gets at me. And man, oh man, we're having a great time. Podcast is doing really, really well. Appreciate everyone who listens, downloads, suggests to a friend, whatever you do. Definitely appreciate that. It's unbelievable, and it's almost a dream come true that I get to talk about the Raiders on a daily and have a whole audience that wants to listen and talk Raiders with me. I think it's awesome, and we're trying to go big places with this. So thank you. I can't thank you enough. And until next time, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.